Welcome to Truth and Circumstances, where we apply the truth of God's Word to the difficult situations of real life. I'm Kyle Lamb, and with me is Greg Birdwell, preaching pastor at Providence Bible Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio. Today we're going to be discussing the question, "The Lord has put a person in my life that I'm having a hard time loving. What should I do?"
Good question. Before we start asking or dealing with that, I'm just curious how your mouth is feeling because you just got your wisdom teeth taken out.
Yeah, so that was about a week ago now, still recovering from that. And I'll explain further, but if you have a weak stomach, you might want to fast forward at this point. I was relatively pain-free through most of it, and people had told me horror stories, so that actually helped because I was like, oh, this is cakewalk. I just get a, besides the eating Jell-O thing every single day for every meal. Mm-hmm. But so now what I'm dealing with, I've got these two gaping holes, and I have this syringe that I have to use after every meal because, believe it or not, food always sneaks its way in there.
That's horrible.
And when I spray water in those holes, meals from the whole week come out. Let's just say that.
That is terrible.
Yeah. So I'm still kind of discouraged from eating some things. Mm-hmm. So, you know, my doctor told me you can just eat whatever you want, but he's lying because I can't eat like peanuts. I can't imagine getting a peanut lodged in there.
Hopefully he doesn't listen to this podcast.
No.
Liar.
Well, hopefully he does, but, you know, but yeah, so.
Yeah, this question might help him.
True.
But yeah, we've just insulted him, but maybe he could be helped by this particular question.
Right.
So did you cry yourself to sleep that first night or two because of the pain?
Man, I had no pain, if I'm honest.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was slight discomfort. I have more pain now, and I think it's from shooting water in there than I did in the recovery. I will say I was taking pain medications. Medication is the proper way to say that.
Did they put you out all the way when they?
Yeah, but they brought me to a little bit. So I do remember one point where I was awake. I knew where I was at, and they were in there doing something.
That's
I was so, for lack of a better word, doped up that I didn't even care. But the worst part, I got to say this. This was the worst part of the whole thing. Maybe other than the socket part with the syringe. The worst part of the whole thing is walking into the room, seeing the tray of tools they're about to use on me, and then they talk to me as if they care about my life and my family, and then they knock you out, and then you wake up, and you're disoriented, and then you have to go home and eat Jell-O every day for a week.
They should knock you out before you go in the
room. I agree.
Yeah. My when I got my wisdom teeth out, it was a wonderful experience because I was out completely, and I would do it again tomorrow. It was wonderful.
You know, that's weird. I would too if it got me time off work again that, a little vacation.
We should probably talk about something important.
I agree.
What was the question again?
The question is, the Lord has put a person in my life that I'm having a hard time loving. What should I do?
We've talked about some things on the podcast so far that are very specific to certain phases of life, but this one might be the most broadly appealing topic we've done so far because everybody has or has had somebody in their life who is like human sandpaper. So I think we'll all be able to benefit from this one.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, let's start with considering that this difficulty suggests not so much that there is something wrong with that person, but that there is something wrong with you.
Yeah. And this is not to say that there aren't people who are difficult to love, because sometimes, you know, there are people that multiple people find difficult. But there's every possibility that you are human sandpaper to other people, you know, and I know that I have been because people have told me that you are very difficult for me to love. So we all are difficult for somebody to love, but that you're not loving that particular person means that you're not living in a manner that's consistent with the gospel. We'll talk more about that in a minute. So Ephesians 4 thing, but we tend to think, oh, there's something wrong with that person, because I'm not able to love them. We need to flip the switch in our mind and realize, oh, there's something wrong with my heart because I can't love them. Because, you know, we really don't see Jesus having a hard time loving people. He loves everybody. So he's the standard. Mm. And if we're not able to do that, then there's something wrong with us.
Right. We need to remember that the Lord saved us when we were dead and rebellious, and he changed us.
Yeah. Yeah. So the first place that I think of in the scriptures when I consider these questions is Ephesians 4:2. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. But if that call to bear with one another in love was easy, we wouldn't need to be having this conversation. So we really need to step back because there is something crucial that precedes verse 2 in Ephesians 4 that points us back to what Paul talks about in the first three chapters of Ephesians. So he's discussing in Ephesians chapters 1 through 3 everything that God did in Christ to free us from our death in sin.
And this is not just to remind us, hey, you weren't so lovable either.
Yeah, yeah. That is a valuable thing to think about, that you and I didn't smell like a bed of roses when the Lord saved us. That is a good thing to keep in mind. But there's something far more powerful in chapters 1 through 3. Christ redeemed us from our deadness in sin, our inability to walk faithfully, and gave us life and good works to walk in. So he's enabled us to walk in obedience. Ephesians 2:10 tells us that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. So the Lord has saved us. He gave us his Spirit to work inside of us. We find that in Ephesians 3:16, his Spirit, his power is at work in us. Earlier in chapter 1, verses 18 and following, we find that the power that raised Christ from the dead is at work in us. So there's multiple references in those first three chapters to the power that God has given us to walk in obedience. And the idea is that the gospel has saved us and changed us and empowered us to live a life consistent with that change. So there is no reason why, if we are in Christ, we can't love any particular person. The gospel would say things are different now.
Yes. So we're doing a lot of remembering here.
Yes, we're doing a lot of remembering.
Well, we also need to remember that loving other people is consistent with this gospel.
Yeah. So that brings us to Ephesians 4:1, where Paul writes, I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you've been called. So he's basically pointing back then to chapters 1 through 3. So I've told you everything about what Christ has done for you in the gospel. Now, live in a manner that's consistent with that, i.e., with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bear with one another in love. And we need to keep in mind that when we don't do that, when we don't love each other, we're saying something with our lives that's contrary to what we say with our mouths. And this is a constant theme in Paul, this concern that the church should commend the gospel with its works.
Right. Because what is the gospel that we preach with our mouths?
Yeah. Well, the gospel that we preach with our mouths is that Jesus came to save us from our sin. He changed our hearts so that we might live for him for his glory. And when we don't love one another, we're contradicting that message. So broadly speaking, our ability to love our fellow brothers and sisters is a sign that we belong to him. First John teaches this repeatedly, and most folks are familiar with John 13:15, which says, by this all people will know that you're my disciples, if you have love for one another. Now, our struggle to love one particular person doesn't indicate that we aren't saved, but we should just keep in mind that this is important enough that it's a hallmark of discipleship to love one another. So we've got to remember that loving people is consistent with the gospel. If we've been saved, then this is something that's going to be more and more true of us all the time, that we'd love the people around us regardless of how easy they are to love, quote-unquote.
Yeah. Sure, yeah, that's helpful. Well, another thing to remember The gospel has united us together, and love is necessary for that unity.
Yeah, so we continue our march through Ephesians 4:3 adds to this that we need to be eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So when we don't love, and I know that we don't think this way, because when we're confronted with that person that we find difficult to love, we think that, oh, that person is just difficult to love. We don't think about the ramifications of it. But when we don't love, there are ramifications for the unity of the church, and we're actually endangering our local body, okay? Hmm. Because think about what happens when we've got a community of people where it's kind of the norm to avoid that person who's human sandpaper for me. So I do. Well, let's pretend for a second that you are that person for me. You're human sandpaper to me.
Sure.
And Jason, who's sitting here with us, making sure that we don't break any of this equipment, he is human sandpaper to you. And Pastor Ken, who's across the hall, he is human sandpaper to Jason. And everybody in the church has somebody. And we're all avoiding somebody in the church. That is an atmosphere that is conducive to backbiting and gossip and innuendo and sinning against one another and unforgiveness and cliques, and just you can just go right down the list of dangers to the church. I mean, you're creating an atmosphere where there's going to be a schism, and that church is going to have huge problems. So we have to think of this not just in terms of just that one person, but when we tolerate in our own hearts a failure to love a person, we're actually endangering the church. We are affecting the unity of the church, and we need to remember also that the same Christ who died for us died for that person. The same Spirit who is at work, alive in us, is alive in that person. And this is the same everything. And basically, I'm getting now into verses 4-6, which read, "There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all." And a lot of people would read verses 4-6 and say, oh, he's just talking about theology. Well, no, this is tied to that bearing with one another in love.
Yeah,
I think
absolutely.
That theology is intended to say, hey, you guys are tied together by more than just being in proximity to one another.
Right.
It's not just that you're in the same room. Everything about you ties you together.
Amen.
And so you've got the same Lord. You've been united by the same baptism. You've got to think about this and more just in terms of, well, we go to the same church together, and we have to love each other.
Right.
There's more to this than that.
Right. Well, Greg, do you recommend staying away from that person or pursuing that person?
Well, I certainly wouldn't recommend avoiding them, because that just doesn't seem loving to me, and it would indicate that we still have a problem that needs to be worked on. I still have a problem that needs to be worked on, because we got to keep in mind again that Jesus is the standard.
Right.
He loved. He pursued difficult people, and I think, you know, if we were to think of leprosy as kind of a metaphor for socially untouchable people,
sure.
Jesus could have healed lepers without touching them. He touched them. So
that's helpful.
Yeah, and it's a beautiful thing. So I should want to be like Jesus.
Absolutely.
So to avoid somebody that I have a hard time loving, it just seems to be not like Jesus. So I wouldn't avoid people, and I would welcome short times of fellowship with that person for the purpose of loving them, for the purpose of working out that love muscle in my heart, you know, just like working out any other muscle in my body. I want to give myself the opportunity to exercise the things that the Lord is teaching me and put into practice the things that I'm seeing here in Ephesians 4. That being said, I don't think you need to go on vacation together, you know. Some people click with particular people, and they don't click with other people, and they probably never will. And that's not an indication that there's a problem.
Sure.
Like, you know, I remember meeting you, and right away, just enjoyed you. You know, could talk to you. Was kind of drawn to talk about theology. We just talked very easily. It was an easy relationship, and always has been.
Yeah, ditto.
So we're not always going to be that way with everybody, and that doesn't mean that that something needs to be fixed until every relationship in our lives is like that. We're going to click with some people. We're not going to click with others. That's not necessarily a bad thing. The question is, am I loving everybody?
Sure.
And love entails being kind and doing good for everyone from a heart of goodwill. And that's what I need to be pursuing. I don't necessarily need to pursue being best friends with everybody.
Sure. Yeah. The temptation, though, is to only surround yourself with people who are like you.
Yeah.
And who, you know, and if we're honest, a lot of our growth comes from putting ourselves in those necessary situations to, I mean, I can think of people right now. One of the people I'm so thankful for is Brett Tardif. Were it not for Christ, him and I, and this isn't a negative thing towards him or myself, we probably would have never met. We probably would have never hung out, but he is one of my best friends that I'm most thankful for. And it's because of the unity in Christ, and I'm so thankful for that season of my life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Y'all are like a male Laverne and Shirley. I was thinking this morning, what reference could I throw at Kyle today that he won't recognize? And I succeeded.
I was born in
the 90s. So Google that too, Laverne and Shirley.
All right,
You're a male Laverne and Shirley with Kyle, with Brett Tardif.
Got homework.
Okay.
Well, Greg, we usually end with something on prayer, and I think the temptation is to kind of let this bounce off because you hear it all the time, but we really need to stress this point. We need to make it a priority to pray for them and do good for them.
Yeah. Now, this is something that, we've got commands in Scripture to pray for the brothers and sisters, and this is in Ephesians 6, 18 and following kind of thing. So we pray for one another. But I have found from experience in my own life that praying for that person that I'm having difficulty with changes my heart toward them. When I was in high school, I had a person that I was having a real difficult time with, having a hard time forgiving this person for something. And just the Holy Spirit impressed upon me that the way to deal with that would be to pray for them and to do good for them. And by God's grace, He changed my heart and moved me to where I just loved this guy. And it's just difficult to pray good things for somebody.
Sure.
And the Lord not change their heart. And so the content of that prayer, I would say, don't make that prayer, Lord, change this person, please.
Sure.
Please make it easier for me to love them because they're just driving me nuts. But rather, I would say, you know, pray good things for them. Lord, bless that person in their marriage. Bless that person in their work. Please bless that person in their fellowship with you. Let them have a rich time with you in the Word today and in prayer. Pray that you would bless them with great fellowship with other believers today. That kind of thing, rather than make them more like me or pray good for them out of a heart of goodwill toward them. It's difficult to pray that kind of thing without the Holy Spirit working on your heart and changing you toward them.
Well, that's not only been your experience. I can say to difficult people that I've had in my life, when I pray for them, it is easier to love them, and my wife has affirmed that too, and I'm sure our listeners also have been through something similar, so that's a great point. And
great.
Yeah, well, that brings us to a close.
Very good.
Good stuff.
All right.
Till next time. This has been Truth and Circumstances. You can visit our website at truthandcircumstances.com. If you have any questions you'd like to hear us address on the podcast, you can email those to questions@truthandcircumstances.com. You can also follow us on Twitter and ask your questions there. Truth and Circumstances is a ministry of Providence Bible Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio.